Todd Gilbert from Zondervassy. This is the Rorschach, Georgia update from the 11th of September, 2025. Quick summary of what's going down in Georgia. Friday the 5th, Georgian Dream, or the Kotsebi president, Misha Kavelashvili, pardoned Mamuka Khazaradze and Badri Japaridze, founders and leaders of the Coalition Strong Georgia, or Zlieri Lelo. Both were serving eight-month sentences for refusing to appear before a parliamentary investigative committee that was tasked with probing alleged political abuses under the previous government. Kavelashvili had earlier said he would pardon opposition leaders if they requested it, meaning say that they were guilty, but Khazaradze and Japaridze rejected the offer. This time, the pardon came unconditionally. He explained that he wanted to ensure no one could accuse the electoral process of being unfair. As Zlieri Lelo plans to run in the municipal elections, Khazaradze said they did not expect the release and that this move was aimed at sowing mistrust among the four main opposition parties. Recall that the two of them are personally boycotting the vote. Speaking of the investigative committee, pro-Russian media in the occupied region of South Ossetia, Skhinvali says that Georgia admitted responsibility for starting the 2008 war against them. They point to a new 460-page report from the committee led by ruling party member of parliament, Teya Tsoulikiani, which reviews decisions made during former President Misha Saakashvili's time in power. The report says Saakashvili's party dragged the army into the conflict, counted on foreign backing, and launched an assault on Skhinvali, the South Ossetian capital, on the 8th of August 2008. Russian and South Ossetian outlets presented the document as proof that their long-standing narrative is correct and that Russia's military actions against Georgia were justified. On Wednesday the 3rd, Kotsebi opened a mayoral campaign office on Melikashvili Street in central Tbilisi, instantly turning the spot into a new tension point. Very next day, pro-European demonstrators gathered outside to protest the government and recent court rulings that sent political prisoners to jail. Tensions rose quickly when Kotsebi supporters hurled insults and attacked journalists. Becca Odishadia, a former member of parliament from the Kotsebi who lives nearby, showed up looking a little disheveled and confused and shouted offensive slurs at protesters, then went home. Situation escalated again a day later when Kotsi Tituskebi, thugs operating under the government orders and protection, assaulted protesters marching by the office. Police stood by without intervening, of course. Reacting to the attack, even more pro-European protesters showed up the next day, but this time heavy police presence separated the two sides. Check out the videos of the attack and the Kotsebi members of parliament with a link in the show notes. For months now, we have been covering the case of Mzia Amakhlobeli, journalist and founder of independent media outlets Batumelebi and Netgazeti. Last month, she was sentenced to 2 years in prison for slapping Irakli Drebuadze, Batumi's chief of police. She said it was a reaction to how he treated her several hours earlier while she was detained in connection with another case. She said he spat on her, insulted her, and ordered officers not to let her drink water or use the toilet. Despite sentencing Mzia to 2 years, the Kotsebi regime seems to have decided that keeping Drebuadze, who stirred up a lot of bad publicity in such a visible position a month before municipal elections, was not such a great PR move, and moved him to Tbilisi's criminal police department to, get this, lead the International Cooperation Unit. On that note about the municipal elections, in a last-minute move, on Saturday the 6th, Prime Minister Irakli Kobakhidze announced that the government would invite OSCE ODIHR to observe municipal elections set for the 4th of October. However, a day later, the organization responded to the request, saying that receiving an invitation with less than a month before the elections does not give them enough time to prepare and allocate the resources necessary, so they will not be sending observers. Incredibly cynical move by the Kotsebi. Everybody who knows how election observation actually works in the grown-up world knows that you can't issue an invitation 3 weeks before an election. The purpose of this, for the government and for the Kotsebi, is to say on Imedi that ODIHR and the OSCE was invited, but they refused because Imedi watchers have no idea how these things work. In related news, on Tuesday the 9th, Georgia's election administration published the official list of candidates for the municipal elections. Gakharias for Georgia, or Saakashvili's Tfis, and Zlieri Lelo register their candidates in only 36 out of 65 municipalities, leaving the Kotsebi either completely uncontested in the rest of them or against other small parties who have very, very little chance to win. Party representatives said that they chose this approach deliberately focusing their resources on major cities like Tbilisi, Batumi, and Kutaisi, where opposition support is strongest. Next up, on Saturday the 7th, a shooting broke out in the popular Tbilisi restaurant Kvevri. Police opened an investigation into illegal gun possession after a fight between Lasha Baslanze, the restaurant's tenant, and Shalva Tibua, the property owner. Witnesses say Baslanze fired a gun. The incident left a security guard injured and Tibua with a mild concussion. Baslanze is a close friend of Tbilisi Mayor Kaladze, who refused to make a comment when journalists asked about the incident. Even when he was shown a video, he deflected, saying that he was not informed about the case and didn't want to say something that would mislead people. Later, Baslanze made a post on Facebook thanking Kaladze for supporting him. For a month now, the Kotsebi have been doing lots of Soviet-style pre-election cracking down on corruption. So yeah, it's just PR. But maybe also some conflict inside the party as well, and they're killing two birds with one stone. On Saturday the 5th, the State Security Service arrested a deputy governor of the Mskhetem Tianeti region in eastern Georgia. Authorities say he demanded $400,000 from a foreign citizen in exchange for changing the status of two agricultural plots into a non-agricultural land, which allows building commercial properties. Security services recorded him when the foreigner handed him part of the money, which led to his arrest. He now faces charges that could lead to imprisonment from 11 to 15 years. On Thursday the 4th, Kotsebi passed a new law targeting what they call financial crimes. The package requires convicted offenders or their relatives to repay damages to victims. Compensation isn't paid. Courts can seize property, freeze assets, or, listen carefully, ban offenders from traveling abroad for up to 16 years. This rule applies to fraud, embezzlement, extortion, property damage, or over 10,000 lari, which is about $4,000, abuse of power, money laundering, and cybercrimes. Let's watch how this property damage clause is weaponized. Legislation was first introduced after Gogi Batsiashvili, former aide to Bidzina Ivanishvili, was sentenced to prison for allegedly defrauding his former boss of several hundred million dollars worth of Bitcoin. Batsiashvili argues that Ivanishvili had only given him a loan for investments, which he said he repaid in full. On Friday the 5th, an Armenian court approved the extradition of Georgian citizen Gogi Kinoyan to Russia. He'd been arrested on Wednesday the 3rd. Kinoyan fought for Ukraine against Russia and was arrested at the Armenia-Georgia border. Moscow has listed him as wanted along with other Georgians who joined the conflict. There's still a 40-day hold before extradition can take place. His family had informed the Georgian embassy about the arrest, but Georgian authorities say they hadn't received any details from their Armenian counterparts. Family knows that if he is handed over to Russia, he will face torture or worse. On Wednesday the 10th, Germany's Foreign Affairs Ministry responded to Shalva Papuashvili, chairman of the Kotsebi Parliament, after he accused Ambassador Peter Fischer of supporting violence and extremism by being biased in favor of pro-European protesters. Berlin called the accusations baseless, said the spreading of disinformation harms Georgia-German relations. Officials criticized the Kotsebi for constantly using aggressive language against the ambassador and said that Fischer represents the German government. Finally, Rule of Law Lab at New York University has released a report titled Democracy Under Siege, Georgia's Autocratic Takeover. It comprehensively analyzes Georgia's deepening authoritarianism after the October 2024 election when the Kotsebi declared victory despite enormous electoral violations. And it is in both English and Georgian. The report says that under Bidzina Ivanishvili's leadership, state institutions weakened, became politicized, and were used to entrench one-party rule. The authors recommend stronger international pressure, including targeted sanctions against officials, to counter the erosion of democratic institutions. If you want to read the full report in English or Georgian, link in the show notes. And that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us. If you want to send an actual episode, you can download them at Rorschach.com/Georgia as an MP3 file and send them wherever you want. Link in the show notes. Nachmandis.